The New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 36. Jesus feeds a great crowd. When Jesus heard the news about John, he left there in a boat and went to a lonely place by himself. The people heard about it, and they left their towns and followed him by land. Jesus got out of the boat, and when he saw the large crowd, his heart was filled with pity for them, and he healed those who were ill. That evening, his disciples came to him and said, "It is already very late, and this is a lonely place. Send the people away and let them go to their villages to buy food for themselves." "They don't have to leave," answered Jesus. "You yourselves give them something to eat." "All we have here are 5 loaves and 2 fish, they replied. "Then bring them here to me," Jesus said. And he ordered the people to sit down on the grass. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven and gave thanks to God. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Everyone ate and had enough. Then the disciples took up 12 baskets full of what was left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000, not counting the women and children. Jesus walks on the water. Then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the lake while he sent the people away. After sending the people away, he went up a hill by himself to pray. And when evening came, Jesus was there alone. And by this time, the boat was far out in the lake, tossed about by the waves, because the wind was blowing against it. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and screamed with fear. Jesus spoke to them at once. "Courage," he said. "It is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter spoke up. "Lord, if it is really you, order me to come out on the water to you." "Come," answered Jesus. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he was afraid and started to sink down into the water. "Save me, Lord," he cried. At once Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him and said, "How little faith you have. Why did you doubt?" They both got into the boat and the wind died down. Then the disciples at the boat worshipped Jesus. "Truly you are the Son of God," they explained. They crossed the lake and came to Gennesaret, where the people recognized Jesus. So they sent for the sick people in all the surrounding country and brought them to Jesus. They begged him to let those who were ill at least touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were made well. Praise be to God.
Thank you very much, Glynis. This morning, I would like you to use your imagination and try to think what it would have been like to be one of those first disciples of Jesus, to look at how they trusted or didn't trust Jesus, and to think about how we trust or don't trust Jesus. To help us imagine this, I'm going to paint a picture of the Sea of Galilee. First of all, I'm going to paint the sky and the background hills. But while I do that, I'd like you to think about the first part of our passage, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. What a large number. How would you have felt if you'd been one of the disciples? You arrive feeling depressed. First of all, John the Baptist, it tells us just before this passage, they've just heard that John the Baptist has been beheaded, which is why Jesus has crossed the lake to go somewhere quiet. And you arrive and there's 5,000 people plus there. So you're not feeling terribly happy. Then you think you're being helpful. You think, oh, I'll tell Jesus to send these people away because they need to go and get some food or they're going to starve to death. And what do you get back? You feed them. Come off it, Jesus. There's 5,000 men here, not counting women and children. So Jesus had to show them what real trust in God meant. As he took the bread and broke it, and the fish and broke it, and gave it to the crowds. What they might have noticed is that Jesus used something brought by the child, and one of the disciples brought it to him to Jesus. Maybe we've got a gift that we think is small, or perhaps it's not as big as we'd like it to be. Are we trusting Jesus to take that gift and use it to bring people to him, to glorify him? So while I paint the sky, I'm going to ask Tom to play us a CD track number one, titled Man of Miracles by Shattuck and Rust, because these disciples must have been beginning to go, this is a man of miracles. So I'm going to paint the sky and a little bit of the hills at the back. No sooner had the people been fed than, as described in verse 22, Jesus told the disciples to get in a boat and go ahead of them while he dismissed the crowd. Why such a sudden decision to send Jesus out on the boat? Possibly because we learn from John's account that the people wanted to make Jesus king. Now that might have been because they'd seen the miracle, probably because they'd seen the miracle they wanted to make him king. It could have also been connected with the fact that people believed, a lot of people believed, that when the Messiah came, the manna that they had in the wilderness would come back. So seeing Jesus make the bread multiply like that probably made them think that the manna had come back. So they wanted to make Jesus king. And those people that say this miracle didn't really happen have to explain why the people, the ordinary people, wanted to make Jesus king. People don't do that for nothing. Now, Matthew tells us that the disciples were well out in the lake. Just notice that, well out in the lake. I was fortunate this year to go to Weymouth for my holiday, and by the sea. Probably a lot of you know Weymouth, but the Portland is just further along from Weymouth. And at Portland, there are two currents that meet. And as a result, the sea is very rough there. And we watched this little sailing boat caught in these currents. And it was stuck there for about half an hour. Now, you should have known better because there's a lighthouse right on the end and a Coast Guard station. So I don't know why it thought it was a good idea, whether it thought it was being clever, because the people in the lighthouse were laughing. But anyway, as a result, it just gave me a sort of sense of, wow, it's really hard if you're in a sailing boat and you're battling against the crowds. The storm the disciples were in that day probably wasn't quite as dire as the storm they were in when Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. But verse 24 says that the boat was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So why paint the sea and the boat We're going to listen to a track by Stuart Townend. Refers to the storm on the lake where Jesus stood up because he was asleep in the back, but I think it still gives us a bit of a feel for how this might have felt to the disciples. The disciples must have remembered how Jesus had stilled the storm on the lake, but on this occasion, Jesus wasn't there. Last time, he had at least been asleep in the back of the boat. Do you think the disciples trusted God that he would take care of them? We don't know. How do we feel when the storms of life suddenly hit us? Do we cry out, "Where are you, Jesus? What are you doing? Why aren't you here?" That's a very natural response. But do we forget that it's not the same for us as it was for those disciples? Jesus said if he went away, he would send the Holy Spirit to believers. So if we are Christians, then we have the Holy Spirit living within us, part of the Godhead. That means we're never in the position of the disciples, out in the middle of the lake, with Jesus not there, because he lives with us and in us. We are never left alone. We can cry out to him for help and know he hears us. I recently heard of a family of a friend of mine who died recently, that while they were waiting for the decisions about whether the life support system should be turned off, they were singing hymns. That's only possible because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's actually lovely to think, you don't really realise sometimes what's going on in our hospitals where faith is being expressed in God's saving power. But even though Jesus wasn't physically with them, somehow he knew that they were in difficulties. Maybe he could see them, like I could see the yacht at Portland. Maybe it was just that the weather was very bad, so he knew they'd have a problem. Or maybe he just knew. He did seem to just know everything, didn't he? Anyway, we're told in the Bible that Jesus went out to them walking on the water. And if you remember, we said earlier that they were already a long way from land. He wasn't standing in the shallows. Can you imagine how they felt in the boat? I'm not surprised they thought he was a ghost. After all, people don't walk on water. They were terrified. Grown men admitting they were terrified. Jesus calls out and says, "Don't be afraid, it is I." Even though Jesus is always with us, he does sometimes seem to make himself especially known in times of trouble. I remember when my grandmother, who lived with me, died. And I was standing in the kitchen. Her body was still in the room where she died. And I had such a sense of Jesus' presence with me, standing next to me, that I felt reassured and comforted. And that's been true in so many bereavements since, that God has come in so many different ways and spoken to me. And I remember a lady in the Weymouth Baptist Church I went to on this same holiday this year. It was only over coffee, but she told me that her husband had been very ill. And God had given her a picture of her standing next in front of a big chasm. Next to her was a lion. And then on the other side of the chasm were two people, and she knew that God was telling her that her husband was going to be all right. Well, I got told this story because I'd said I painted. There's a young man in the music group at the front who sometimes illustrated the sermons by painting. And she hadn't told anybody about this picture, but she said a few weeks after she had this picture and he was illustrating one of the sermons, he painted exactly this picture that she'd had from God. So I just find it's amazing that God uses so many different ways to communicate with us. He knows what we need, and he communicates in the way that we need when we're in trouble. And I think he does that through his Holy Spirit. While I paint Jesus and the disciples, we're going to listen to another song by Shattuck and Rust, One Who Watches Over You. And perhaps you'd just like to contemplate the fact that Jesus is watching over everything that you're doing. I don't know how well you've been getting on trying to imagine you're one of the disciples, but if you've been trying to pretend you're Peter in your head, then I'll forgive you if you like to change now. Because Peter appears to doubt that it's Jesus standing on the water, and so he says, "Oh, Jesus, please invite me to walk on the sea with you." What was Peter thinking of? Asking to walk on the water. If you were one of the other disciples, would you have tried to stop him? Would you have said, "You're mad. Don't get out of the boat, Peter. Don't get out of the boat. You'll sink, you'll sink." How often do perhaps we tell people that are trying to do something for God, "Don't do that, don't do that. It won't work, it won't work." Maybe it will work. Jesus didn't tell Peter off for being stupid. He told him to get out of the boat and come to him. But Peter had a look at the waves, stopped looking at Jesus, and began to sink. It tells us immediately Peter cried out to Jesus. And Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and caught him before he sank. But then he says to Peter, not to the disciples, but just to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Which makes me go, "Hey, I know why he doubted. How can you say his faith was small? He got out of the boat. How much more faith he's got than I've got?" But we need to hear Jesus' words that says Peter didn't need to sink. If he'd kept looking at Jesus, he wouldn't have sunk. That means we can trust Jesus with all the things that we've got ahead of us, however hard they may seem, and know that if we trust him, we don't need to sink. And even if we do begin to sink, then we can call out to him and he will immediately come and help us. So how do we make sure we focus on Jesus? Well, I think we should continue to meet with other Christians. We should continue to read the Bible and we should continue to pray. Yes, I know, very difficult. When the big storms hit you, you're numb. You don't feel like reading the Bible. You don't feel like praying. You don't want to face other people. But God tells us not to neglect assembling ourselves together. And God, in his word, tells us so many promises. And if we turn to his word, he can begin to remind us of them. When I found it really difficult to pray, I've sometimes found it helpful to write the prayer down and then just to sit there and to write down what I feel God is saying in response to the prayer. And sometimes when you look back over a period, you're amazed at what God has been trying to say to you. Now, while I paint Peter, I should like you to listen to a song I have to admit I just love. It's by Jonathan, it's sung by Jonathan Vieira, "You Raise Me Up." Once Jesus has lifted Peter up, he and Jesus get back in the boat and the sea becomes calm. The result of this experience isn't that the disciples focus on Peter, but they focus on Jesus. And even in that boat, they fall down and worship him as the Son of God. When they get to shore again, Jesus heals many people. In fact, it says all who touched his cloak were healed. There is no end to his compassion. Then, there was no end to his compassion then, and there is no end to his compassion now. This is the God we worship. Whatever needs we come with this morning, whatever mess the world is in, God remains in control. What God asks of us is that we have faith in his Son who fed the hungry, who walked on water, who healed the sick, and who ultimately died on a cross so that we could be saved. If we put our trust in him, we shall never be disappointed. If there's anyone here this morning who's never put their trust in Jesus, then I would invite you and urge you to consider again who Jesus showed he was and is. Even on the boat in the middle of the sea, the disciples bowed the knee to worship, and we can do no other ourselves.